Tip FM's Tip Today with Fran Curry.
In association with Slattery's of Pecan, Tipperary's main Peugeot dealer. Slattery's Garage Pecan, the name you can trust for over 50 years in the Premier County. Slattery'sGarage.ie.
Glad to be joined now by the parish priest of Ardfinnan, Newcastle and Four Mile Water, and that's Father Michael Toomey. Good morning to you, Father Michael.
Good morning, Fran. How are you today? How are your pancakes going?
Oh, listen, I'm starving even thinking, about it. Would you make pancakes yourself, Father?
Now, I won't make them. This is where Mammy comes in. But I'll give you my recipe at the end of the call, because it's a recipe that I always give to all the school kids and they absolutely love it. So I'll tell you at the end.
Leave you
hang on to that.
I look forward to that. And people have a chance to get a pencil as well, or a pen.
I mean, it's going to be a long one. I tell you, it's going to be, you'll be there for hours trying to make this.
I love it indeed. Tomorrow, Father, is Ash Wednesday. It's the start of Lent. And again, we're hearing that, you know, that there's a demand for ashes, but of course not in the traditional sense, I guess.
Yeah, obviously this year we can celebrate Mass in public at the moment here in Ireland and then in the island of Ireland. But obviously it is Ash Wednesday, so like we're doing and have been doing since the 26th of December, we'll be saying Mass online here in Ardfinnan and encouraging people to join us. But what we are doing is we're preparing ashes in the churches for people to come and take one packet home to their own home. And I need to stress that for safety reasons. Some people ring up and say, oh, can I bring it over to here and there and everywhere? We can't.
Mm.
You can only go into your own home with your own ashes.
Oh, of course, yes.
Safety, you know, everyone's picking up on everything, so we just have to be safe. So earlier on in the year, the Vatican gave instruction that rather than actually putting the priest putting his thumb on your forehead and making the sign of the cross with the ash, that there's a new rite where you can actually just sprinkle a small amount of ash on your head and say the same words. You know, remember, we are dust and unto dust we shall return. Now, obviously, that won't apply to us because we can't have public worship. So what we're doing here is we'll have ash available in the church in packets ready, and they'll be blessed at the Mass tomorrow morning. They'll be available after the Masses in the five churches I have, and indeed many churches around the country, and a little prayer to go with us. And people can bring them home and put ashes on their own heads or on the heads of their loved ones in the same home, in the same bubble, and say the little prayer service there. And for those that don't get ash, because obviously there's a lot of people who won't be able to get the ash tomorrow, there's still that little prayer. You can just make the sign of the cross and just say, there's a little prayer. Help me to renew my love for you and to reach out to others who are in need. And I make the sign of the cross in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. So we're getting around the restrictions, as it were, Fran.
And but people, my understanding of what you said to me is people can't make the sign of the cross in the ashes on their forehead in the way that they may.
You see, if you take the ashes yourself and you get the ash, yes, you can. But I, for example, I couldn't go to you, Fran, and put the ashes on your head because I'd be touching you.
Oh, yes, right.
See what I mean?
Right.
So, I mean, you can sprinkle the ashes on the heads of those around you, or if you have the ash yourself, you can put your own ashes on your forehead.
Ah, no, I'm with you.
Is that okay?
Yep.
And they've all been done. They've been done safely. We've used gloves. It's all social distance, and we will have them in the churches. So we'll put them at the entrance to the churches here so people can just come in and take a packet and go. So they're literally just walking through, say a little prayer if they want to, because obviously the churches are open for private prayer.
Mm-hmm.
So if people want to come in and say a little prayer. And also get their trochra boxes as well, because a lot of people are in contact with us about trochra. It's obviously they're big, like everyone, like every charity, everyone is suffering at this time, and it's their major appeal as well. So we're just making sure that everyone is, you know, accommodated as best as possible.
And that is what is behind the ashes, you know, unto dust we shall return. Is that the symbolism there? Is that the...
So the symbolism, the ashes themselves are taken from the palms of last year, and what they do is they burn down. And the ashes themselves are just a symbol. They're placed usually on the heads of the Christians on Ash Wednesday, and they can be sprinkled on their heads as well. So this sprinkling isn't new. That has been there for a long time. And remember, you are dust, unto dust you shall return, or the one I prefer to use, especially with children, is repent and believe in the gospel. Because obviously we're coming into the Lenten season, which is the period of reflection of our lives, of penance, of turning away from our old ways. Obviously tomorrow is a fast day, so anyone from the ages of 18 to 59 are asked to avoid meats, products, and, you know, only have one substantial meal during the day, unless you have a medical condition which prevents you from doing that. So it's all about a symbolism of offering up and sacrifice, which is part of the Lenten tradition in Christian traditions itself. And You know, it's actually, for me, Fran, I laugh, people say to me at Christmas, oh, you must, this is your busy time of year, or Easter. Ash Wednesday, traditionally, is the busiest time of day of the year for any priest.
Is it?
I find that, because you think about it, Fran, if I had, as I would have here, three or four masses, you'll have loads of people at them.
Mm.
Then I go to the schools. Then I go into the homes of people. And then I'd be meeting people on the street. You're literally putting ashes on people from 7 in the morning till 10 at night. It's a long day, Ash Wednesday, in the tradition that it was.
Well, people embrace it very much. You know, it's very important to them, isn't it?
They do. I mean, Ash Wednesday is by tradition, and Lent itself. I mean, I know a lot of people that give up drink for Lent, you know, alcohol. I give up McDonald's for Lent, and that's not hard this year because they're shut. But that's another matter. Yes. But yeah, it is, and it's symbolism of, you know, family traditions from down through the years. And obviously in schools we teach people about, you know, a sacrifice, giving up sweets and the money you save giving to charity. That's where Trocra comes in particularly, but also other things as well. But Lent isn't just about a time of giving things up either, Fran. It's about taking new challenges. And I think this Lent, I've been trying to encourage, especially young people, do something in your community. Take something up. Like, you know, obviously we can't call into people's homes, but why don't you give people a ring? Or, you know, just knock on the door and say, hi, do you need any shopping? Or, you know, and it's all these community things which I think we can still remind ourselves are vital at this time of year, particularly with the pandemic.
And therefore, that I was just going to make that point to you. Does it take on a new meaning within this pandemic, Father?
I think it does. I mean, I think because the whole of society, we're not able to do what we've liked to do, like whatever it is, like go to a sports event, go for a pint, go to a wedding, go to a funeral in the traditional way that we used to do, going to school, you know, meeting up with friends, celebrating birthdays and anniversaries and things. All of that's been taken away from us really since last year. So it's kind of in a way, I've been looking at it as we take a step back and we see what we actually miss is what we really took for granted. Does that make any sense?
It does.
We took all these things for granted up until last year, and I think when, please God, these vaccinations get rolled out and when restrictions are lifted a little bit more, and, you know, I wouldn't be rushing into them either. We have to do it safely. We have to look after everybody. We just have to take our time to make sure we get it right this time, please God. But I think we'll appreciate more and more what we took for granted in the past. And I think Lent's a time in the church's calendar, in the Christian tradition, for us to take a step back from the things we're used to doing and like doing and remind ourselves that, you know, this is a penitential time. This is the time leading up to the greatest, you know, feast of the church's Christian year, which is the celebration of Easter, the resurrection of Christ. And the church itself will look dreary. You know, there'll be no flowers in the church. There'll be no pomp and ceremony. It'll look, you know, I've had a lot of people commenting, you know, our church here in Outfinland has been fantastic. We've a great team here. We've been helping doing flowers. I'm waiting for someone to complain next week. God, it looks awful. But that is part of the
Lenten. Is that the solemnity of the occasion? Is that
it? That is it. Yes. You know, now, obviously, there'll be days like St. Patrick's Day. You'll have the flowers out. St. Joseph's Day this year, obviously, we'll have a big celebration for the year of St. Joseph as well. But it just reminds us that then when you come to Easter, you see this burst of colour, this burst of smells and bells, and the music comes back in Easter because Christ is risen. So it's kind of preparing ourselves for the great resurrection. And I think during the pandemic, we're missing all of these things. And I think when we are back to normal, it'll be like an Easter revelation to all of us that, hey, we're getting back to a new normality and we will appreciate things more and appreciate our family and friends more, I think, as well.
You made an interesting point on social media recently. You were talking about, you know, churches being made available for vaccination, for example, but and you were making the comparison, available for vaccination but not available for a church ceremony.
Yeah, I think it came up from an independent councillor, and the reason why he, I think, raised it was, you know, the churches are well-ventilated buildings. Most of them we can have a wander-in, wander-out system, and, you know, the people can park outside. And I thought it's a great idea, and I've no problem if the HSE approached me to use a church for vaccination hubs, fine. But that very same argument is what we're using to say, well, why can't we say Mass? Mm. And I just thought it's the same argument for two different issues. One is for vaccination, one is to celebrate Mass. Because the celebration of Mass is, it's of vital importance to people. And we have sacrificed a lot by not going to Mass at the moment and going online, which helps, but is in no way, it's in no way anywhere near people physically coming to Mass and receiving Holy
Communion. And you still believe, Father, even when, you know, with the way the numbers went after Christmas, do you still believe that ceremonies should be allowed to go ahead in that safe fashion?
I think that at the moment, no. I agree with the restrictions insofar as they are. I do agree that. But the point I was making, Fran, was, you know, a suggestion was made, sure, you can use churches because they're well ventilated and open. But I'm saying, well, if you're going to do it for vaccination, why can't we also have it for Mass? That was my point. No, I agree, Fran, because some churches are a bit smaller, other churches are different. My big concern is, in Ireland, we can't celebrate Mass, but you can in England. And England had a much higher rate than anyone else. Yeah. And that's still today. In England, if you have a funeral, you can have 30 people. But in Ireland, you can only have 10. Now, I had a funeral a couple of weeks ago, and there was a family of 11 there. So which one do I say you've got
to
stay outside?
That you have to go home.
You know, it's, you know, now, obviously, common sense. We have to be very sensible about it. Obviously, we have to be very flexible. But that is, and I understand there have been pockets of, you know, funerals where there have been huge crowds, and there have been sadly, people have got sick from it, and I understand that as well. But I think we have to use common sense that, you know, certain areas can accommodate more people than others, and I think this number of 10 has been a bone of contention. And I say that not just as a priest, I say it as a human being. The fallout from COVID-19, Fran, mentally, and it's already been documented, and we've said it all along, is going to be phenomenal. I spoke to a guy yesterday. He lost his father to COVID. I spoke to him the other day, and he said, it's just we get a feeling. We know people want to be there. We don't know who wants to be there. And it's like we haven't buried him. We have to do all, we have to be prepared for all this.
So there's not closure for so many people.
There's not closure for so many people. And even though people appreciate it and understand it, you know, and there's always arguments, and there's people saying, oh, can you do it this way? Can you do it that way? And we're trying our best. We're kind of on a tightrope. If you go one way, do you go the other? And, you know, who do you say no to? Who do you say yes to? We try and maintain all the best advice, all the best things we can. We're doing our best in these very difficult circumstances. And I think that, you know, my big concern is, particularly when it comes to grievance, and I'm not talking about people who have died by COVID. I'm talking about people who have died in other ways and naturally, you know, through old age or whatever, through just general sickness, that there is no real closure, and there'll be, and I'm doing a lot of bereavement work on the telephone because obviously I can't visit people in their homes, so I have to do follow-ups on telephone, and there's only so much of that I can do as well because I can't see a person in front of me. I'm only listening to their tone or their voice, see how are they doing. So there's going to be a lot of work after this, you know, long term for everybody's mental health.
And I presume there will be a lot of call on people like yourself, Father Michael. I mean, in terms of somebody wanting some form of ceremony to celebrate somebody's life.
I mean, this time last year when the first lockdown came in and we thought, okay, it'll be for a couple of weeks, we said, look, if there's a funeral, we'll have the month's mind, you know, and we'll celebrate the person then. Now we're a year down the line. So now we're looking at anniversaries of the way of celebrating. And, like, I have no problem and we'll do it. And, like, I'm thinking of doing kind of, when things really do settle down, we might have a Mass where three or four families might come together and we'll have a memorial Mass for a group of people in that area or whatever. Or people might want to have their own Mass. That's fine. We can do it. You know, we will do all we can to help people pastorally and spiritually. We'll do what we can. I'm quite happy to follow the guidelines to the best of my ability at the moment. I've no problem insofar as, you know, we're asked to do this together. And I speak as a church, but I know, I know many publicans. They're going to lose their business very soon. I know many shop owners. I know one shop owner who set up, would you believe, last February, who is just brokenhearted because they've only been open for about 4 months in the last year, and they're going to have to close down because they just can't pay the bills and the rates, and they're still coming in. So this is not just a church thing, Fran. This is a whole society thing. You know, the bill, the cost, and this, there's a great fear, and there's a lot of people in country, they're really worried about this, you know, not just catching COVID, but what's going to happen afterwards. You know, there's a great fear out there. And all I can say to people is, look, we're all in this together, every one of us, from the politicians down to the Joe Soap down on the streets. We're all in this together. We're all going through this together. It's not like a what I'd call a normal tragedy that's happened on the other side of the world, and it's very sad. Everybody in the world has been affected by COVID. So I think we take one day at a time, we see how we're doing. I mean, thankfully, thank God there was no further deaths recorded yesterday for the first time. Mm. We're getting there. We have to be very careful. We don't want to be on lockdown again in a couple of months' time. You know, just to...
And that's the great fear, of course, but hopefully fear, not. Yeah. Go on, can you give me your recipe for the pancake?
So, Fran, this is confidential. This is just between you
just
and
between
I.
Between us?
Not telling anybody else, okay, but I normally tell the school kids. So you have your pancake. While it's hot, you get Nutella. And I mean Nutella. You literally throw it on. Very, very thick. Don't be scared of it. Mm-hmm. Let it melt. Then you get Rice Krispies. Other cereals are available, of course, and you just sprinkle all the Rice Krispies over it, cover it, and then you roll the pancake up. If you want some more Nutella, put it on the top and more recipes, and you have a crunchy nut chocolate pancake.
Oh, my God.
There you go. Oh, I'll leave that one with you, and don't tell anyone.
I won't tell anybody at all, and I hope you'll sample that at some point of the day yourself.
I'll have about three or four of them, so I won't be moving tomorrow, so there you go. So listen, Fran, mind yourself, and to all your listeners, take care.
You
look,
too.
We are in this together. Yeah. We'll look out for one another, and just keep smiling, keep the faith.
It's always a pleasure. Look after yourself, Father Michael, and thank you very much indeed.
Join the conversation in Tipperary. Contact us through Facebook, Twitter, or email tiptoday@tipfm.com. Tip FM's Tip Today with Fran Curry.
In association with Slattery's of Pecan, Tipperary's main Subaru dealer. Slattery's Garage Pecan, the name you can trust for over 50 years in the Premier County. Slattery'sGarage.ie.